Buoyed by his re-election victory in 2004, George W. Bush declared an ambitious agenda for his second term as president.
I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it for what I told the people I'd spend it on, which is, you've heard the agenda, Social Security and tax reform, moving this economy forward, education, fighting and winning the war on terror.
Yesterday at a White House news conference, the president was asked if he could claim that same mandate today.
I'd say I'm spending that capital on the war.
In other political news, primary elections yesterday in Illinois, an Iraq War veteran who lost both legs in combat won the Democratic nomination for a House seat. Former presidential candidate Al Gore said another run does not seem likely for him. And in a few minutes, New York Republican Sherwood Bowler joins us to talk about his decision to retire after nearly a quarter century in the House of Representatives. If you have questions about either end of Pennsylvania Avenue or big races where you live, give us a call. 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And joining us here in Studio 3A for our weekly Wednesday feature is our political junkie, NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. Always nice to have you on the program.
Thank you,
Ken.
Neil.
Much different tone to President Bush's remarks yesterday compared to just a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago was a lifetime ago, given the fact that the war has not gone well. And with his third anniversary of combat, President Bush has been going around the country trying to drum up support. Now, in the past, when the president does speak, there is a little bit of a spike in his approval ratings, or at least approval ratings for the war. But more and more people are not hearing anything new. And the headlines that really came out of yesterday's speech was really that the troops are not getting out anytime soon. He said it's up to future presidents to decide when the troops are going. So there will be no October surprise for the 2006 elections or the 2008 elections. Looks like troops will be there through 2009, and I don't think that's what Republicans wanted to hear.
And that agenda that the president touted after he was reelected, Social Security was the one he was asked particularly about yesterday, and he agreed it's not going anywhere.
Not only is it going nowhere, two negatives, not only is it not going anywhere, but also Republicans in Congress say it's not going anywhere. So he has control of Congress by his own party, and they're not on board either. So it's been a really rough year, certainly since the election of 2004.
Well, speaking of elections, there was a primary yesterday in the state of Illinois, and a very prominent Republican, Henry Hyde of Illinois, most recently chairman of, I think it was the
Foreign International Relations.
International Relations Committee. Before that, the Judiciary Committee, you might remember, during the impeachment hearings. He is retiring, and a Democrat named Tammy Duckworth won the Democratic nomination to run in that district.
Now, that's the headline. The headlines is Tammy Duckworth, and she has a really compelling story. She is she was an Iraqi war veteran. She was a helicopter pilot. She lost both her legs in a grenade attack, and Democrats felt that she was the perfect candidate to run for Congress. There are a lot of Iraqi veterans, a lot of war veterans. Democrats have been recruiting this year, in part to show that they are not the party of defeatism and weakness. They want to stand up to the Republicans on defense and national security issues, but Tammy Duckworth got a ton of money, got endorsements from Barack Obama, who was featured prominently in her ads, Dick Durbin, the other senator from Illinois, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, all endorsed Tammy Duckworth. The problem is before she gets to the November election, there was another Democrat running, a woman by the name of Christine Sigalis. Sigalis was the Democratic nominee against Henry Hyde 2 years ago. She held Henry Hyde to 55%, which was the lowest that Hyde, the worst showing that Hyde has had. And Sigalis said, look, one, I deserve this nomination. I mean, I put up the fight 2 years ago and nobody thought I had a chance. I did well and I deserve it again. And two, not only is Tammy Duckworth not from the district, but she's not sufficiently anti-war. When you ask Tammy Duckworth about the war, she said, well, I don't like the way it's going, but but there are some good things. She was kind of like not as strong as some Democratic activists would have liked, whereas Sigalis was, this war is atrocious, it's abominable, and we should pull out. So lo and behold, even though Duckworth had all the endorsements, all the celebrity, all the money, she won by only 1,080 votes. It was a 44% to 40% victory yesterday in the primary. And to me, the message is really that it's wonderful to have celebrity, it's wonderful to be an Iraqi veteran, but you have to have something to say, and that could be the problem of some of these candidates in November.
I think there are nine Iraqi war veterans running, eight of them Democrats in various places around the country. Speaking of Illinois, the incumbent governor, Rod Blagojevich, a Democrat, won re-election handily yesterday. He will be facing, come November, Judy Barr Topinka. The Republican Party is in some trouble, statewide at least, in the state of Illinois.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, first of all, it started with George Ryan, the previous governor. Republicans had the governorship for 30 years. The last time the Democrats had won it was 1972. But given the fact that George Ryan was embroiled in this scandal, he's been indicted, given the fact that their Republican nominee for the Senate 2 years ago against Obama was a guy named Jim Ryan, who was involved in this lurid sex allegations with his ex-wife, and then they had Alan Keyes coming in as their nominee. The Republicans are really in big trouble in Illinois. The good news for the Democrats is that you don't have to write in Rod Blagojevich's name because it's hard to spell or pronounce. But you know, he's had a tough race too. He appointed a disciple of Louis Farrakhan to a discrimination and hate crimes commission, which caused a lot of Jews to quit the commission. And there's been a lot of back and forth and angry outbursts between blacks and Jews in Illinois, which is not a good thing for the Democratic Party if they want to win an election in November.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's introduce now our guest. Longtime Republican Congressman Sherwood Bollert announced that he will retire at the end of this congressional session. And Congressman Bollert joins us now from his district office in Utica, New York. And Congressman Bollert, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Well, it's good to be with you.
And what prompted your decision to leave at the end of this term?
Well, you know, every 2 years I go through the reassessment. Should I reapply for my job? And this time I said, no, I'm not going to do it. It's time. There comes a time in every season, and I'm going to be 70 in September. I've been at this a long, long time, and I thought it was just about the right time to go out riding on the crest of a wave, if you will. I've had a very productive last couple of years, and I'm proud of those years, and I look forward to having some free time, time when I can do whatever I want to.
That will be a luxury indeed. The president, though, didn't the president ask you to reconsider and think about running again?
Yeah, well, we had a conversation on Air Force One. I don't mean to name drop, but we were flying back to Washington from upstate New York. He had a forum on the new Medicare Plan D program, and I was at the forum and had the privilege of riding back on Air Force One and high above the 30,000 feet up or so, I said to the president, I'm decided not to seek re-election. And he said, I wish you'd run again. And I said, I appreciate that, but I know what everyone's concern is. Are we going to retain the seat in Republican hands?
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to assure him that we are.
Congressman, it's Ken Rudin here. You are one of the leading environmental Republicans. Usually you don't see environment and Republican in the same sentence, but you are certainly one of the leaders in Congress. I have two questions for you quickly. One, what's the mood of the Republicans going into the midterm elections? What do you sense? How anxious do they seem? And how would you compare the Republican Party in the House to now to compare to what it was when you were first elected in 82?
Well, first of all, when I was first elected in 82, we were in a minority, and we were sort of seemed satisfied to be in the minority. We discovered I've had 12 years in the minority, 12 years in the majority. It's a lot easier being in the minority, and it's a lot more fun.
Hmm.
It's a lot harder and a lot more rewarding being in a majority. And so it's changed dramatically from 82 when I first came to present times. And I think one of the reasons I feel confident that the Republicans are going to maintain the majority in the coming election, not just win my seat when I vacate it with a fellow Republican, but stay in the minority, is that I think we're proving that we're the party of ideas. We have some disagreements, as your program has frequently pointed out, within our own ranks. But guess what? We're talking about Republican ideas. I have yet to see the first creative idea come out of the Democrat organization in recent months. All they are doing is concentrating and saying, elect us because we're better than them. They haven't proven their case. And elect us because we'll do better. Well, that's easy to promise when you're in the minority. Quite frankly, I think the majority is doing quite well.
But you're no doubt familiar with polls that show generic Democrats really, you know, doing far better than generic Republicans in trial matchups.
Yeah, but guess what? Nobody votes for generic anything. You vote for an individual, a person, a face, a message. You don't vote for something generic. And when all is said and done, the votes are going to be cast in 435 individual districts They're going to look at the candidates. They're going to measure what they say, and then they're going to decide. And I think we have got in-house, the majority of the majority is running for re-election, and I feel very confident that they're comfortable in their own districts and will take the case to the people, and the people will reward them as they have time after time with re-election. Oh, there are going to be a few losses on both sides of the aisle, few surprises. But when all is said and done, once again, I heard a word that was introduced to my vocabulary by reading a cover story in a New York Times Sunday magazine several months ago. And this high-priced guru was speaking to the Democrats who were having this get-together to reframe their message to make it more appealing to the public. And this guy said to the Democrats, now they paid him to come tell them, you know, how to do things. He said, you're guilty of hypocognition. And I said to myself, what's hypocognition?
Yeah, it's a good, well, good question.
Lack of ideas.
Congressman Bullard, I wanted to thank you, if we don't get another opportunity, for being so gracious with us over your years in Congress. It's always been a pleasure to talk with you, this time, of course, as always. And I also understand that one of the things you're going to have time to do from now on is watch a little bit more baseball.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a real baseball nut. As a matter of fact, I wrote my own declination speech, if you will, and I quoted two people. Two very prominent Americans, Colin Powell and Roger Clemens. Now, Colin Powell, last year in January of 2005, when it was rumored that Colin Powell might step down, I wrote him a note. I exchanged notes with him two or three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
I said, dear Mr. Secretary, please, please, please resist the temptation. Stay. We need you now more than ever. And about 2 weeks later, I got his reply. He wrote, it's time. And I use that theme for my speech. And then the second one, I was reading a story someplace about Roger Clemens, who I think is one of the all-time greats in the game. And they were asking him about, well, are you going to retire this time? And he sort of finessed the answer. But then he added, when I shut it down, I'll walk away with a smile. Because I feel I've done it the right way. And that's just the way I feel. I've done it the right way, and it's time.
Sherry Bullard, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Congressman Sherwood Bullard speaking to us from his office in Utica, New York. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation and Political Junkie from NPR News. Ken Rudin is still with us. Let's see if we can get some callers on the line. This is Paul. Paul's calling from Silverton, Oregon.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, one of your last guests made a statement, and it kind of ticked me off, and I want to make a real quick comment and ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentioned that the cost of cost per pupil has doubled in 30 years. I was kind of wondering if he'd expect to buy a new car for a 1976.
No, he said adjusted for inflation as well.
Oh, I understand, but the whole scope of education has changed so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not here to defend himself.
Okay,
so.
But anyhow, my question is, you know, if we look at the budgeting and the tax issues that the current administration is proposing, I'm just wondering how many people there are out there who really think the Republican Party can manage our country and clean things up. You know, now I owe $30,000 to cover the deficit. And so does everybody else.
You and everybody else.
I'm wondering what people think of that.
Ken Rudin, this is, despite what we heard about unity largely amongst Republicans from Congressman Bullard, this is an area of disagreement.
Absolutely. I mean, and we talked about this last week on this very program, the fact that Republicans historically have been elected on promising to have fiscal sanity, and yet here in the 6 years of President Bush in office, the national debt has jumped, you know, tremendously, and the debt for every American is also, you know, increasing gigantically.
Now, I'm a lifelong Republican, and I'm a little concerned.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Paul.
Thank you.
Here's an email question. From Pamela. In yesterday's news conference, the president radically mischaracterized the basis for Senator Feingold's censure proposal, i.e. that he wants to end surveillance rather than simply wanting to do it within the law. Is there a simple, effective way to counter that characterization that will be meaningful to those of us who are not political junkies?
Well, the president basically began the 2006 campaign in his press conference yesterday. He stood up and said that the Democrats want to run against you know, monitoring terrorists. That's fine with me. Bring it on. And of course, that's not what Democrats are saying. Democrats were very concerned about privacy rights and constitutional rights. And that's exactly why Harry Reid and the Democrats held up the Patriot Act for as long as they did, until those rights were guaranteed. But the president clearly wants to portray this as, we're tough on the terrorists, we're tough on the criminals, and the Democrats are not. And that's the thing that hurt the Democrats in 2002, 2004, and they're up against in 2006.
Quickly back to New York state politics. The mayor of New York, Mr. Bloomberg, suggested the other day that he might actually endorse two Democrats in the upcoming election, Hillary Clinton and the gubernatorial candidate, Elliot Spitzer.
Well, Michael Bloomberg, of course, was always a Democrat until he ran for mayor. Then that's when he became a Republican. But we just talked about Illinois. New York is a perfect example of what's wrong with the Republican Party. George Pataki could have run again for a fourth term, but of course he would have gotten creamed. The Republicans are looking in the phone book, basically, to find a challenger for Hillary Clinton. First, they had Ed Cox, who was Richard Nixon's son-in-law. Then he was pushed out for Jeanine Pirro, who was a Westchester County District Attorney, who during her announcement speech couldn't find page 9 and was stumbling and fumbling. And of course, the Democrats were obliged. They found page 9 for her. And then they had John Spencer, the former mayor of Yonkers, who has a history of marital infidelity. Now they have this K.T. McFarland. I think Neil Conan should be the Republican nominee for. If you can't find a Republican to run against Hillary Clinton in New York, I mean, then where can you find a Republican?
NPR's political editor Ken Rudin can be heard every Wednesday here on Talk of the Nation. You can read his column, Political Junkie, at npr.org. Ken, thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan, and I'm not running in Washington.